We're so glad that you have chosen to join us and chosen to worship with us today. Hey, today we're starting just a short sermon series, two or three sermons in this series about becoming vessels that God can use. That's what the series is going to deal with, becoming vessels that God can use. And today's message is called this. It's called Empty Vessels. Empty vessels. And with the Holy Spirit's help today, I hope and I pray that by the end of this message, we'll have an understanding about just how valuable this idea of emptiness can be. I know that sounds weird, and I know it sounds a little bit strange, but I just hope and pray that by the time this message is done today, you'll understand a little bit better what I mean by that. I want to ask you a question this morning. Have you ever met someone who seemed to have absolutely nothing going for them? Have you ever met someone whose life seemed so empty? Have you ever met someone whose situations and circumstances seemed just incredibly hopeless? The prophet Elisha in today's scripture met someone who fit that description perfectly. And today we're going to learn more about her. And hopefully we're going to learn more about God. And hopefully we're going to learn even more about ourselves. And the story I'm talking about today is found in 2 Kings chapter 4. So yeah, we're in the Old Testament, 2 Kings chapter 4. And we're going to read verses 1 through 7 to kind of set the stage for what we're going to be talking about today as I try to share with you this message about empty vessels. So 2 Kings chapter 4, beginning with verse 1, here's what the word of the Lord says. One day, the widow of one of Elisha's fellow prophets came to Elisha and cried out to him, "My husband, who served you, is dead. And you know how he feared the Lord. But now a creditor has come, threatening to take my two sons as slaves." "What can I do to help you?" Elisha asked. "Tell me, what do you have in the house?" "Nothing at all, except a flask of olive oil," she replied. And Elisha said, "Borrow as many empty jars as you can from your friends and neighbors. Then go into your house with your sons and shut the door behind you. Pour olive oil from your flask into the jars, setting the jars aside as they are filled." So she did as she was told. Her sons brought many jars to her, and she filled one after another. Soon every container was full to the brim. "Bring me another jar," she said to one of her sons. "There aren't any more," he told her. And then the olive oil stopped flowing. And when she told the man of God what happened, he said to her, "Now, sell the olive oil and pay your debts, and there will be enough money left over to support you and your sons." Heavenly Father, this is your word, and I pray your blessing on it today. Use it for your purpose and your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Empty vessels. I want to bring your attention to three people that we see in this story this morning. And from those three people, I want to share some lessons that I hope and pray we can learn from them. So the first person that we see in this story is we see a woman with a problem. We see this woman with a problem. She has a need. Let's get a little bit of a background about her. Who was this woman? What was her situation? Well, we see that she was a widow. Her husband, her former husband before he passed away, was actually a prophet, a fellow prophet of Elisha, the scripture tells us. So he was a man of God. He was a God-fearing man. He was a believer. He was a man who followed God, and he had been this woman's husband until he passed away. She's a widow. The scripture tells us that she has two sons. So we know now that she's a widowed mother. And what we find here is evidently she had no money or no source of income to provide for herself and her two sons. They had no food. Nothing really to live on. She had an outstanding debt that evidently she could not pay. We don't know exactly what the debt was for, but she had an outstanding debt that she couldn't pay. How do we know that? Because she says, a creditor has come threatening to take my two sons as slaves. Wow, when you think about that, how desperate of a situation must this woman have been in? To think about the fact that she's already lost her husband, to think about the fact she has no source of income, to think about the fact that she can't provide adequately for herself and for her sons. Her situation's desperate. And now we find that her two sons were about to be taken slaves by the creditor that she owed money to. Did you hear me mention the word hopeless earlier in my introduction? Does this situation seem just a little bit hopeless to you? I want us to think about something. She had nothing to live on. Nothing to live on. And if her sons were taken in her mind, I just want to tell you this. I believe she felt that she had nothing to live for. She's lost her husband. And if her two sons are taken as slaves, what else is there to live for? She defines the very word desperation. Desperation leads us to can lead us down some different paths. Desperation, that feeling of desperation, can lead us in different ways. Some of them are better than other ways. I said that I believe. Now, it doesn't say this in Scripture, but here's my thought. She had nothing to live on, and I'm telling you, I believe that if her sons were taken in her mind, maybe she had nothing to live for. Do you know what one of the leading causes of suicide is today? One of the leading causes of suicide is desperation because of either financial situations that seem hopeless or family situations that seem hopeless. Marriage situations that seem hopeless. Desperation can cause us to go down different roads, and some of them aren't good. Some of them are very harmful and even deadly. Have you ever been there? Can I just ask you an honest question this morning? Have we ever been in a situation or circumstance where we just felt like we didn't have anything to live for? Have we ever been in a situation or circumstance where we felt like it would be better if my life was just over and I wasn't here anymore? I have nothing to live on. I have nothing to live for. I believe with all my heart that the woman that we find in God's Word this morning, this widow woman, felt like she had nothing to live for. She was desperate. But desperation is not always a bad thing. It can cause us to do things that are good and healthy. It can cause us to have a stronger faith. It can cause us to put more faith and more trust in God, depending on what we decide to do with that desperation. So we see this woman who has a problem or a need. A need that she cannot meet herself. A need that she has to find someone to help her with. Otherwise, it's never going to be taken care of. So the second person we see in this story is a prophet with a solution. We see a prophet with a solution. His name's Elisha. And it's, as we mentioned earlier, the widow of one of his fellow prophets came and cried out to him. My husband who served you is dead, and you know how he feared the Lord, but now a creditor has come threatening to take my two sons as slaves. So now Elisha has become aware. He's been made aware of her need. He has been made aware of her problem, of her circumstances and her situation. And he can sense the desperation and the sense of hopelessness in her voice as she cries out to him. You know, I think it's interesting what Elisha does here. He asks her two questions. He asks her two questions. The first one was this: what can I do to help you? What can I do to help you? That's a pretty good question for Christians to ask people who are in need, isn't it? If we see someone, if we come across someone and meet someone who has a definite and obvious need, shouldn't one of our first responses be, what can I do to help you? And the second question is this. It's a little more curious. What do you have in the house? What can I do to help you? And what do you have in your house right now? What do you have available to you? His questions did two things. First of all, it did this. It demonstrated his genuine concern and compassion. How many of us have ever heard someone say, well, someone say, if there's anything I can do to help you, let me know. If there's anything I can do to help you, let me know. We probably all heard someone say that. Maybe we've said it ourselves. I know I have. If there's anything I can do to help you, let me know. But then what happens when that person comes and actually asks us for help? Oh, it sounds like a good thing to say sometimes, but I think sometimes if we're not careful, we can be guilty of offering help. And, you know, if there's anything I can do to help you, you let me know. We kind of do that to seem concerned, but then when the opportunity arises, maybe we're not as eager to help. This demonstrated Elisha's genuine concern and compassion for this woman and for her sons and for her situation. What can I do to help you? And his second question did this. When he asked, what do you have in the house? That question caused the widow to recognize and admit her need. It caused her to come face to face with her need. It caused her to see the depth of her emptiness. Remember, we're talking about empty vessels. So his two questions did two things, demonstrated a genuine concern and compassion for her situation, but it caused her to admit her need and to see the depth of her emptiness. Her answer tells us exactly what she had. Nothing at all, except one flask of olive oil. I have this one little jar. I have this one little container, this one little vessel, and it has olive oil in it. That's all I have. What's the lesson here? I want us to catch a lesson out of this. Emptiness isn't always a bad thing. Emptiness can actually be a blessing from God if we'll allow it to be. See, anything in life that causes us to realize our need for more of God in our life is a gift to us. Anything, I want you to catch that, anything in life that causes us to realize our need for more of God is actually a gift. I remember one time years ago when we were pastoring that little church in West Plains, Missouri. We had scheduled a revival with a pastor friend of mine, and we had prayed about it. We had cottage prayer meetings. We had specific prayer meetings during the week in different people's homes and all that kind of stuff. And our prayer was for a revival in that little church in that little town. We were desperate for revival. We did everything we could to prepare. We had prayer and fasting. We did all kinds of stuff. We brought in a special music group and different things like that. And it was an incredible revival. Just every night, every service was just an incredible outpouring of the Spirit. And God's presence was all over that place. And it was just that very next week, I remember I was in my van. I was driving by myself. I was going to our district campground, which is about two and a half hours away from where we live. So I had some windshield time, so to speak, by myself. And I'm just going to tell you, a feeling came over me that just broke me. I felt so empty. And I couldn't understand it. I'm sitting here thinking, God, I'm thinking about all the people that were at the altars during those services in that little church, and I'm thinking about all the victories that were won. I was thinking about people that got saved and sanctified, and people that got delivered from addictions and all the different things that happened that week. And I'm driving in my van, and I'm in that car by myself. Well, not by myself, because the Holy Spirit was there with me. And I just remember breaking down almost in my van as I was driving. I think, God, how can this be? We just came through such an incredible high time of revival and spiritual renewal. How can I feel so empty? And then a scripture came to me. And it's that scripture from Jesus, the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 5. Those things we call the Beatitudes. And there's one of those lessons in there that says, blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they will be filled. And I realized at that time that because of the revival services that we had just had, it caused something in me. It caused a hunger to be stirred up. It caused a thirst for righteousness and for more of God to be stirred up. And that emptiness that I felt was actually God telling me that I still have more for you. See, anything that causes us to recognize our need for more of God in our heart and life is a gift. Elisha's solution demonstrates this. Look what he tells her to do. Here he is. We're just going to go through this. He says, all right, here's what I want you to do. You and your sons, I want you to go out to all your friends and neighbors. I want you to borrow as many empty jars as you can find. They went out and did that. They went out and got as many empty jars as they could find. They found every empty jar that someone would let go of and let them use. Borrow as many empty jars or vessels from your neighbor as you can find. And once they did that, they came back and said, okay, we got as many as we could find. He says, now you and your two sons go into the house and shut the door behind you. And then he said this, excuse me a minute. I don't know if you can see me do this, but I'm getting this is actually a cup of water, but I'm going to get a drink real quick and then I'm going to use it for a little illustration. They went in the house. They shut the door behind them. And he says, now I want you to take your flask, the one flask that you have that has the olive oil in it. And he says, I want you to pour the oil from your flask into the jars, and every time one of them's full, I want you to set it aside. One flask. Listen, this is a miracle from God, so I don't really know how to demonstrate this, especially on camera, okay? So I just want you to, this is one flask. Just imagine this little 12-ounce cup. One 12-ounce cup that has olive oil in it. And they have gone and gotten as many jars, many empty jars as they could find. And they've gathered them all together and they're in the house. And she begins to take that one flask of olive oil. And she pours it in, starts pouring it in one jar after the other. And every time a jar is filled up, she sets it aside. Give me another jar. Every time that jar is filled up, she sets it aside. Give me another jar. Every time that jar is filled up, she sets it aside. There's a very important verse here. There's a very important part of this story we need to understand. It's found in verse 5. She did as she was told. See, the prophet had a solution to her problem. But the only way she was going to experience the solution to her problem was if she did what he told her to do. So she did as she was told. Now, can you imagine how silly she must have felt? When she took one flask of olive oil and she looked at all the empty jars they had and said, how in the world is this one flask of olive oil? Why do I need all those jars when this is all I have? But one by one, jar by jar, vessel by vessel, she took her little jar of olive oil and she kept pouring. And as they filled them up, they set them aside. And finally, as she filled one jar up, she set it aside, bring me another jar. And her son said, Mom, we're out of jars. There aren't any more. And the Bible tells us that every jar they filled up out of this one flask of olive oil was filled to the brim. It was as full as you could possibly get it. Filled to the brim. One small flask of olive oil filled every empty jar they could find. Why is emptiness so important? Because God can't fill something with himself that is already full of something else. What if they had gone out and found all these jars that were already full or half full of something else? They wouldn't have been able to put the oil in it. God can't fill something or someone with himself if that object is already full of something else. Emptiness. Empty vessels. Along the lines of this thought, I love this quote from D.L. Moody. It's amazing to me how God works. It's amazing to me how the Holy Spirit works. And what do I mean by that? What I mean by that is this. I'm sitting here. I'm sitting at home. I've been working on sermon prep, but I'm sitting at home yesterday evening. One evening this week. I'm sitting at home. And I'm still thinking about, even though I'm watching TV or doing whatever, trying to spend some time with my family, I'm sitting at home and I'm actually turned my phone on. I got a notification about Facebook or something. And I start looking through Facebook and someone posted, I don't even remember who it was right now, but someone posted a picture of this quote from D.L. Moody. I'm thinking about it. I'm not looking for sermon resources at this point in time. I'm sitting there minding my own business. And when I look at Facebook, this is what's staring me in the face. This quote from D.L. Moody. Here's what it says. The moment our hearts are emptied of selfishness and ambition and self-seeking and everything that is contrary to God's law, the Holy Spirit will come and fill every corner of our hearts. But if we are full of pride and conceit, ambition and self-seeking, pleasure and the world, there is no room for the Spirit of God. I also believe that many a man is praying to God to fill him when he is full already with something else. Before we pray that God would fill us, I believe we ought to pray that he would empty us. There must be an emptying before there can be a filling. And when the heart is turned upside down and everything that is contrary to God is turned out, then the Holy Spirit will come and fill us to the full measure. Every jar, every empty jar that this widow woman and her sons brought into the house and started pouring olive oil into was filled to the brim. You couldn't have put any more in it if you tried. It's like when you go to the gas station and you're putting gas in your car. And I don't know how you do it, but I have this habit of every time, I don't listen to when the pump clicks off. I know when the pump clicks off. But in my mind, when that pump clicks off, my tank's not full yet. So what do? I sit there and I squeeze the lever on that gas pump until I get every bit of gas in that I can find without it coming back out and overflowing. Every jar, every empty vessel was filled to the brim. And D.L. Moody says, when the heart is turned upside down and everything that is contrary to God is turned out, then the Holy Spirit will come and fill us to the full measure. As full as it can possibly be. What was Elisha's solution to get every empty vessel they could find and bring it so that it could be filled? We want to be vessels that God can use. We have to come to him as empty vessels so that he can fill us with all the fullness of God. We're going to get to that in a minute. This brings us to the third person in the story. We've talked about the woman with a need or a problem. We've talked about the prophet with a solution. And now we come to the third person in the story. And who is that person? Of course, the third person in the story is the God of more than enough. Whew. I'm getting shivers. The God of more than enough. How does God meet the need that we have? How did God meet the need that this woman had? I want us to understand something. It's very important. It's simple, but it's very important. And it's something I think we forget. The first thing that we see about in this story about how God met this need was he used what was already available. Elisha asked her, what do you have in the house? Remember that question? We talked about it. What do you have in the house? She said, I have nothing except for one flask of olive oil. What did God use to meet her need? One flask of olive oil. He used what was already available. God didn't create something new. I mean, he didn't give Elisha something and come knocking on the door and say, here, this will be. No, he put her in the house with what she already had available with a bunch of empty vessels and said, do this and watch what happens. One small flask of olive oil that she already had was multiplied to meet the need, and it was more than enough to meet the need. God has a habit of doing more than enough. Jesus in the flesh, God in the flesh, in the form of Jesus Christ, has a habit of doing more than enough. Do you remember feeding of the 4,000 and the feeding of the 5,000? How he took a few little sardines and a couple little pieces of bread, and he fed thousands of people. And not only did he feed thousands of people, but there was food left over that he told the disciples to pick up and put in baskets so that nothing was wasted. He did more than enough. You remember the time when Peter and all of his friends and fishing team Simon Peter were out on the lake, out on the Sea of Galilee, and they hadn't caught anything? They've been working all night. They've caught nothing. Jesus says, throw your net on the right side of the boat. I mean, come on. What difference can it make? How much difference can it really make if my boat's sitting in the same place and all I do is throw the net on this side instead of that side? It makes enough of a difference that Peter and the others hauled in such a catch that they couldn't even get them all in the boat, and the nets started breaking and they had to drag them in. They had to call for help. All the other fishermen had to come and help them pull that one net in because it had so many fish in it. Jesus and God have a habit of doing more than enough. He provided more than enough to meet the immediate need. Look at verse 7 again. Now sell the olive oil and pay your debts. There was the need. What was the real need here? She needed enough money. She needed somehow to make enough money to pay the debt to the creditor so that her sons weren't taken into slavery. That's all she cared about at the time. Sell the olive oil and pay your debts. But what's he go on to say? And there will be enough money left over to support you and your sons. The God of more than enough. Can I just tell you something? I don't remember where I saw this quote, but I found it in an old sermon that I wrote. Here's a quote. I don't even remember who it's from because it was handwritten and I didn't write down the source of it. But here's what it says. There's something about nothing that moves the hand of God. There is something about nothing that moves the hand of God. God loves situations that seem hopeless. God lives for situations that seem hopeless. He specializes in hopeless situations. You see, the God of more than enough provided the widow woman who was empty and had nothing. He provided her with everything she needed and then some. Not only enough to pay the immediate need, the immediate debt, and save her sons, but enough left over for them to live on, all three of them. We see the God of more than enough. He took the woman who had nothing and gave her everything she needed. What does this have to do with us? I told you, hopefully we were going to learn more about her, we were going to learn more about God, and hopefully we would learn something about ourselves. What does this tell us about us? Let me read Ephesians chapter 3, beginning with verse 14. If you have your Bibles and want to turn there, I invite you to do it. But I'm going to read, beginning with verse 14 of Ephesians chapter 3. Paul writes and he says, "When I think of the wisdom and scope of God's plan, I fall to my knees and pray to the Father, the creator of everything in heaven and on earth. I pray that from his glorious, unlimited resources, he will give you mighty inner strength through his Holy Spirit. And I pray that Christ will be more and more at home in your hearts as you trust in him. May your roots go down deep into the soil of God's marvelous love. And may you have the power to understand, as all God's people should, how wide, how long, how high, and how deep his love really is. May you experience the love of Christ, though it is so great you will never fully understand it. Then you will be filled with the fullness of life and power that comes from God." Then you will be filled with the fullness of life and power that comes from God. Now listen to this in verse 20. "Now glory be to God by his mighty power at work within us. He is able to accomplish infinitely more than we would ever dare to ask or hope. And may he be given glory in the church and in Christ Jesus forever and ever through endless ages. Amen." What does this have to do with us? It has everything to do with us. You know what God's desire is for us? God's desire is for us to be filled with all the fullness of the Spirit of Christ. God wants our hearts and lives to be filled to the brim with the presence and the power of his Holy Spirit living in us. But that only happens. That only happens when we come to him as empty vessels. Daniel Steele, one of the great early leaders of the Methodist holiness movement back in the mid to late 1800s and early 1900s, says this: "I attain my maximum power only when I am to my utmost capacity, filled with God by the fullness of the Holy Spirit. I attain my maximum power only when I am to my utmost capacity, filled with God by the fullness of the Holy Spirit." What does this have to do with us? Here's what it has to do with us. Let me ask you this question. Are we experiencing the fullness of his Spirit today, right now, this morning? Can you sit there wherever you are in this sanctuary or in front of your computer screen or wherever it is that you're watching and listening to this message today? Can you sit there and tell me and answer this question in the affirmative when I ask, are we experiencing the fullness of his Spirit? Are you right now, this moment, experiencing the fullness of God's Spirit? Does his Spirit fill you completely, or are there other things in your life that are hindering the Spirit from filling your heart and life? You see, if we're not experiencing the fullness of the Spirit, what does that tell me? It tells me that just maybe we aren't empty enough. Maybe my vessel, maybe my heart isn't empty of everything else that needs to be emptied before I can be filled with the fullness of Christ. There's one more important lesson in our story today. There's one more important lesson that we can't leave without talking about in this lesson. Did you catch when the oil or the Spirit? See, the oil is always kind of a type or a example of the Holy Spirit. Do you remember in this story? Did you catch it when the oil or the Spirit ran out? When it stopped flowing? See, it only stopped flowing. The oil only stopped flowing after there were no more available empty vessels to be filled. Only when they ran out of empty vessels did the oil and the Spirit stop flowing. What's that tell me? That tells me that if we're lacking the fullness of the Spirit in our lives, it is not because of a supply problem on God's side. No, it's because of a demand or availability problem on our side. The oil kept flowing. The Spirit keeps flowing until the Spirit has no place to flow to. It's not a problem of supply. God has more than enough of the Holy Spirit and His presence to meet our need. But if we're lacking the fullness of the Spirit, it's because maybe there's a demand or availability problem on our side. See, we have to make ourselves available to Him. We have to allow God to empty us and to cleanse us, to cleanse our vessels so that then He can fill us with His presence. We're going to talk more about that next week. That's the next part of this series. But see, becoming an empty vessel and bringing ourselves to God as an empty vessel, that's the first step. That's the first step in becoming a vessel that God can really use. And I pray that if you haven't already done that, you will do that. Even this morning, or maybe later today, I don't know. But find a time and a place. Whenever and wherever the Holy Spirit draws you. Don't do it because I said it. I'm not putting any pressure on you. Don't do it because I said it, or don't do it because I'm asking you to do it. But when the Holy Spirit draws you, when the Holy Spirit tells you there are things in your life that need to be emptied out so that I can fill your heart and life with my presence, do what God asks you to do. Be obedient to the Holy Spirit. Offer yourself to Him as an empty vessel so that He can fill you with all the fullness of the Spirit of God. Heavenly Father, today I pray that You would help make us empty vessels. I ask You to show us anything in our hearts and lives that's contrary to Your will or contrary to Your purpose. Would You please show us anything that's hindering and keeping us from experiencing the fullness of Your Spirit living and working within our own hearts and lives? And then, Lord, help us to surrender that to You so that we can be cleansed. And we can be emptied of everything that's not like You, so that You can fill us with Your Spirit and make us more like You. We love You today, and we thank You for Your love and Your faithfulness to us. Help us, Lord, to be faithful to You and show Your love to others around us this week. We ask it all in Jesus' name, and we give You all the glory. Amen.